Thank you very much, Carolyn, and my co-presenter, Mary Alice Kurtz. It's a pleasure to be here today to talk about what we have learned and developed at Raytheon about employee engagement in energy conservation, which has been very successful, and quite frankly, the reason being that I've been able to surround myself with a team of completely confident professionals that are 100% on just about 105% of the time. So that's one of the keys to success as I see it. It's get the right people involved and manage it from there. Next slide, please. I'm going to talk about our company background, a little bit about that. It's not really an advertisement. It's really to get you to know what the shape, the feel, the size of the organization is, and the complexity of what our program needs to address. Communication and outreach initiatives, which is really the heart and core in all of the aspects, utilizing tools, partnerships, a program called Energy Champions and Energy Citizens, and our awareness events. And all of this is structured to ultimately get into the mindset of people, shape their hearts and minds into making energy conservation a matter of life, a way of being, change their habits and shift the paradigm. Next slide, please. As far as Raytheon, bottom line, we support approximately 14,000 contracts. So what we don't have is the luxury of having one product line or just a few. Very, very, very many and disparate type of entities there, and we all get along very well. We're a global company. We bring solutions to the table, and we're pretty much known as a systems integrator. Next slide, please. We are consisting of six business units across the United States, plus our headquarters operation, which is in Waltham, Massachusetts. I'm with a group called the Integrated Defense Systems, located up in Massachusetts, with presence pretty much across the perimeter of the United States. We're supported by Raytheon Technical Services Company, which is headquartered near some of you in Reston, Virginia. Then we've got an intelligence and information systems and a network-centric systems. They do a lot of the communication aspects and a lot of the secured program aspects and homeland security issues. They're headquartered in the Texas vicinities. And missile systems in Tucson, Arizona. And we've got a space and airborne system out in El Segundo. As you can see, we do have worldwide presence. Our revenue is $25 billion. Of that $25 billion, our energy burn is just in excess of $100 million. So put it in perspective, we are not an energy-intense industry. So from a top-level perspective, energy does not drive the business, but we've got top focus that energy and sustaining the environment is something that we should do. We owe it to our future generations. So we get that motivation from our CEO, the board of directors, and the top level of the company. So it's been very effective getting that lift to our program. Next slide, please. Energy and sustainability, although not 100% synonymous, some people just focus on energy and lose the aspect of total sustainability as far as the whole life aspects of cradle to cradle. And one thing I like about these webinars is we're avoiding a whole bunch of greenhouse gases by having to get on that either aircraft or traveling by car or whatever to get to this webinar. So, again, DOE, thanks for recognizing that and providing a technological solution to get the message about energy awareness, energy conservation, and total employee across the line. So part of the Raytheon Sustainability Program is the energy aspect and how it relates to the environment, and we've gone a step further with that, and we've tied it into our greenhouse gas production or reduction program, I should say, because 90% of our greenhouse gas comes from the off-site, i.e. Fossil fuel burn, nuclear energy, etc., the power plants that import the power into Raytheon sites. So we're looking at that and reducing that footprint, and as a sideline, we have actually signed up with an EPA program, Climate Leaders, and proclaimed goals in carbon reduction. We've already achieved our first one, and now we're on our second one. So it really does tie into the entire sustainability aspect of energy and environmental awareness. Next slide, please. What energy is to us, again, it's not a huge business driver. However, it's necessary to do business. It's very expensive, and you can look out at the forward pricing curves, although natural gas is a pretty good storage going on right now, even in spite of the heat of the summer. Electricity across the nation is a touchdown. However, the constant is that it does go up, and it's going to be going up. Finite resource, the limitations that we have on Mother Earth as far as fossil fuels, let's do what we can do to get off of the fossil fuel aspects and get rid of the foreign dependency on foreign oil as well. So again, our social responsibility at a corporate level is to conserve it, and not only energy but all aspects of the business, eliminate the unnecessary waste, and to shrink our environmental footprint. So we believe that it's a positive acclimation, that it's something that we train people as they come in from the street and join the company, right through the daily use, the daily habits that they do. Next slide, please. Why focus on the employees? And I'm going to go through this history here, but bottom line is when we looked at our energy consumption, between 40 and 60% of our energy consumption in our offices, laboratories, production space is plug load. What's plug load derived from? People putting demands on the grid. So we're after, again, every person, and try to motivate them to understand what this all means, what they can do at home to change their habits, save money, and reduce the aspects of the environmental impact, and hopefully, not just hopefully, but planning that will convey on and carry over into their daily lives at work as well. We go back to the energy conservation arena back in the early 1970s when we had the oil embargoes going on. If some of you were around then, it was really a hassle. And then we ramped it up in the 80s and 90s, and we had a program way back then which was called Turn Down the Juice, Join Us in Conserving Energy. It was almost like a bumper sticker, and it became infectious to the point where it in and of itself in different regions of the country did start a tipping point going on where people started getting sensitive to energy conservation and energy ways. So we've been at it for a while. During the years, we found some aspects that worked better than others, but we thought that getting into the employees' heads, along with upgrading the infrastructure aspects, doing the retro-commissioning, recommissioning, changing out equipment, and alike, we really needed to influence the employees that not only the cliche that everybody owns energy, but get them to understand that the savings and the motivation for it can help them from a lifestyle perspective and a savings standpoint at home. We are big partners in the Energy Star arena, and I would tell you that between the DOE and the US EPA, it's our federal dollars at work. Take advantage of the programs. Take advantage of the tools that our taxpayer dollars have contributed to the development of. They really work, and I believe that the team that I'm talking about, our Enterprise Energy team, has really prospered because of the utilization of some of those tools and derivatives that those team members have made as a result of the tools as well. Next slide, please. I'm going to show you, it says it's what's the best approach. Well, this was what we used in the 70s. Now, culture was different then, and these were similar to parking tickets, a violation. The word audit was fashionable then. We're in a kinder and gentler world now. I would not advise anybody having an energy conservation ticket system. I think that society has changed, and people work a lot better with a gentle nudge first. And then after that, I'm not sure if you'd use shock treatment and all that. That uses electricity, so I'd find another way. But hopefully you're going to get some things out of here that avoids the shock treatment. Next slide, please. So instead of the shock treatment, we feel that a softer approach may, and I'll say emphatically, it does work better. We have up on the left success stories. We through an energy champion network, and I'll talk about our energy champions, what an energy champion is, but we will feature teams or members or individual employees who have taken an extra step, an extra measure to identify what an energy conservation result could be, and to talk about the results and feature it. We'll broadcast it across our computer screens. We've got different displays throughout the different locations where we have presence as well. So by getting people out there and forward and getting their work recognized, It really has given the program lift as well. We've coined the program Raytheon Conservation for Competitive Advantage, and we got this little logo from FEMP. This is the one on the upper right. I'm sorry, the middle, Raytheon with the hand with a globe in it. Energy Conservation for Competitive Advantage, you have the power. That was something that we used for several years just to get people's eye clicking, to kind of create the buzz and get a new look to things and refresh it. We also have developed a screensaver reminder that you can see in the middle, highlighted in yellow. And upper right, Energy Conservation for Competitive Advantage. What these are is that's the modern-day ticket, if you will. It's kinder and gentler. Somebody, an energy citizen or an energy champion, a person that's motivated, has these tickets from their manager, and they go around either during hours or off hours, and they'll put these on people's doors or on their workstation. Just a gentle reminder that your lights were on, thank you, or the below items were found to be on. Please shut them off. In the factory environment, on our production floor, where it's sometimes difficult, unless you're really embedded into that culture of what's going on a daily basis, it's difficult after hours when you do the assessments to know if that piece of equipment you're looking at, that oven or that shaker or whatever the piece of equipment may be, does it need to be running or not? So we've trained the operators to put either this green sign that you see on the bottom, which is this system is up, it needs to be operating, please do not shut it off, versus a red sign, which is this is off, and if you see it on, you may shut it off. And who shuts that off are typically people in the work cell that know about the equipment, not the uninitiative. Next chart, please. As far as partnerships with internal stakeholders, another absolute thing that has to be done. The environmental health and safety folks, along with the facilities folks, if you're not teamed up, you're not a team, from my perspective. This becomes a critical mass when you get the human resources folks on board, involve the manufacturing people, the engineering folks, and the business development. What's not here, and I said it earlier, was top-level support. If you get the top-level support and get your CFO, the financial folks, the people with the checkbooks, if you will, get alignment with them, because out of this program, employee suggestions come about, which leads to capital investments that need to be made. It's a hollow program if you have items that you're entertaining from the floor, i.e. suggestions from people, and there's no budget to go along with providing an answer or a fix or a solution to the problem or to the issue or the concern or the recommendation that they've brought forward. Next slide, please. Developing the network, if you haven't caught on to it yet, that's really what I'm preaching here is beyond the folks that you surround yourselves with, get every aspect of the program that you can to be a force multiplier. We believe in leveraging every situation that we get into as far as meetings with different groups, different people, talk the energy piece. As safety is important and one of the most important things that we do in our business, energy is right there as well. So from a network standpoint, we established a network of energy champions. And they're folks that have a passion for promoting energy conservation. They believe in it. They believe in making efficiency, not just in energy, but just, you know, leaning practices on out. Their responsibility is to really work in a peer level arrangement through and with endorsement from their managers to develop strategies specific to their work areas. Who knows best but the people that are embedded in the work areas? It really works best in a production environment and in a laboratory environment and a data center as well. Probably not so much as office areas. However, in the large plants, a lot of opportunity there to get a network of people involved, get them to be recognized by their peers and their manager and supported by both as energy champions. We have them identify what we'll call energy conservation measures, ECMs, and some of the managers actually use the amount of ECMs that have been developed and completed as a metric for performance for the energy champions. Programmatically, we don't require that. But in the individual work cells, that's what's going on. So it's uncanny that when you get a program coming about or developing, that different people that get involved with it put their own spin to it, which has been also another point of leveraging experiences, leveraging opportunities. Backsliding, that is the biggest problem that we see as far as developing a program and then just keep moving forward. You've got to have your eye in the mirror to make sure that things don't backslide, and that is absolutely a difficult thing to do. So what is old becomes new again. So continuously refresh, do those on-floor assessments, make the lists, and as the list gets completed, put them in the drawer, file them in your computer, and bring them out a year or two later. We're going to be talking a little bit through Mary Alice about best practices. Once you've implemented a best practice, that's good. Well, 2 or 3 years from now, revisit again, because people change out of positions. Technology changes as well. Make what was old new again. And share the progress. And let's boast about lessons learned in innovative energy practices with other team members. As you can see in the upper right, we've got a picture of an energy conservation team, an energy champion team at one of the locations that went around their center. We gave them some green shirts, and demand was up for more green shirts because more energy champions wanted a token of appreciation and recognition. Things that you can find out to do. We've got a picture of a core team at one of our large facilities. Get that known as far as who the contact people are. Each one of them has their phone number underneath it, so they're reachable, approachable, and they are the subject matter experts on location. Next slide, please. Recruit and recognize the energy champions. I was talking about that on the upper right-hand corner. We've got the IEDC, one of the energy champions. We muted his picture out intentionally to protect the innocent. This is our witness protection program, so to speak. But along with the logo, you have the power. We feature a person there that's done exemplary or made exemplary performance, and we give them that recognition as well. Posters that we put out advertising for becoming an energy champion, encouraging them. This one was a little bit of a raffle that if you entered into being an energy champion, you're eligible to win an iPod as well. So different gimmicks that evolve when as force multipliers, if you will. In the lower right, we broadcast and brag about it internally, but when we won one of the Energy Star Sustained Excellence Awards, we brought the whole team. That's the Enterprise Energy team that you see there in the picture. And that's important. It's not one person that this whole energy program should depend on. I believe that wholeheartedly, that it is team, and your job would be to mine as much that you can out of the team to get them to produce, and produce willingly, and you've got to show your appreciation there. Next slide, please. A little bit of background about another program that we developed, Energy Citizens. Little background was that in 2007, a few of us sat around a table and said, gee, we've got the energy champions. This is happening. We've kind of reached a little bit of lull as far as performance goes. How do we really get more people engaged? How do we know we've got people engaged? And it's kind of like thinking about a city. You've got the mayor, the top end of the business. Then you've got city councilors or aldermen or precinct supervisors, whatever they might be called in the political structure. Those are the energy champions. We want to get every citizen on the block engaged. And how are we going to tell if these citizens are energy conscious? Hence, we coined the word energy citizen. Let's call a program energy citizen. Let's develop something, a threshold, if you will. No, we'll call it a learning tool. So we developed a learning tool. The old name would have been Quiz. We put it up on our internal web and had people, we broadcasted the program, advertised it, created a buzz about it, and got people involved to take it. And this is during the prototype that we piloted up here in New England. And there were approximately, there were 18 questions. Again, it was work and home, not just work only. And the first half of the year, well, it was actually a six-month duration from July to December, We qualified 10% of our 15,000, so 1,500 people at our business unit within 6 months took this energy quiz. After they took the, I should say, learning tool, after they completed this, successfully completed it, it took 5 minutes. It was an energy awareness module, if you will. They got a nice pin, lapel pin, or pin to put on their lanyard, very attractive in the upper right section. And we knew we had a successful program going forward. As this was in the fourth quarter of the year, we started with going across the enterprise with this as far as getting top-down support. And in the ensuing years, we developed the program further. Every year, the learning tool changed, got better, augmented, supplemented. The Energy Citizen pin looked different every year. And every year, people had to requalify. So as of January 1st, in a given new year, we had zero Energy Citizens for that year, 2009, 2010. And then we had a forward goal that within that year, we had to achieve X percent to be as qualified individuals. This year, our goal across the company is 50%. When I say company, it's domestic. And so far through, this is a May metric, we had 33%. But as of the end of July, we've got approximately 45% that are Energy Citizens. And it's, again, a great gauge as far as how many people have been made aware and have qualified as Energy Citizens. It's something that the EPA is enthusiastic about, and something that we plan to take forward. But as any program is, once you play it for a few years in a row, it starts getting stale. So the team right now is off into developing what 2011 will look like as far as another wow factor, create a buzz new, and the jury's still out as far as what the complexion will be. One of the features of this program is that once you passed the learning experience, and it's instant recognition that you passed, congratulations, or if you didn't, it says you need to qualify, you've missed a couple of questions, you can go back and retake the learning session, and we're encouraging people to pass it. Within 2 weeks of passing, they get a note from their business unit lead with the pin attached to it. It's a little note that the Enterprise Energy team folks wrote, and it's basically the business leader recognition of the fact that you, person, individual, have passed and how important energy conservation is to us, and we really appreciate your participation. Go forth and promote all the aspects of the program. Our vision, which is nirvana, is to get 100% of total employee engagement. That is an ongoing challenge. So every year we creep the goal up, and again, it's been very successful. Next slide, please. To get some competition going, or actually was no intention of competition in the beginning, we put some metrics up as far as what business unit. The business units are represented here, each of the business units, as well as corporate, and then we've got the last histogram bar is the enterprise. What this has done, and we report on this monthly, and on a quarterly basis, it goes up to the CEO. Each of the businesses now feel a competitive nature about this because, A, nobody wants to be down the bottom. B, everybody wants to knock the group that's up the top off of the top of the charts. So it kind of becomes a self-perpetuating competition, which is it's fascinating how this just came about as a byproduct of the development of the metric. Next slide, please. Earth Day, everybody's heard about Earth Day. We take advantage of it, not just from an environmental aspect only, but the energy aspect, which is environmental. And we really, really focus on bringing everybody into either our dining center, cafeterias, or places of interest for Earth Day events. And we'll put a booth or an information kiosk together. We'll invite local vendors in that have either the hybrid cars or some of the Energy Star partners like Lowe's and some of the household goods and materials with LED lighting and giveaways that really brings in a lot of people, and it's a good way of getting the influence going across. I'm cutting short on time, so I'm going to go a little bit quicker now. Next slide, please. Energy Awareness Month, which we're getting ready for in October. We do a very similar event, but the focus is total energy, so it's much more of a presence in the dining centers, cafeterias, and other places of interest for people to gather. And it's totally about energy and greenhouse gas reductions. And we focus on spotlighting some of the energy champions right there, so they get to participate in actually promoting the energy aspects and get recognized at that point in time as well. Next slide. This is a take-a-home version. Take this home. We promote a Kids Are Cool aspect. This was a drawing contest, and it developed into a 12 winners, one for each month, and it became a calendar that we hand out. And it's a pretty cool thing to have on your desk as far as getting and knowing that the kids, the children of not only our employees, they can be relatives, of our employees, they take the time and do something that's got an energy theme to it. And they are getting this in school as well, but some of the preschoolers are even participating in this. So I'm all set now. I'm going to turn it over to Mary Alice Kurtz, and she's going to share some of the best practices they've developed. Thank you very much.